The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the Stick Boy Podcast. Joshua Adelaide Marathon here with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How goes that?
Good. So it has been a while, but we are here with a throwback pod on the One Fall Podcast, where we kind of go back in time and look at past events. We're going to kind of gauge the road to WrestleMania from the 2003 era and go from there, see a little bit of what happened in No Way Out, and then get to WrestleMania. But we didn't see those, but we're going to just mainly talk about what happened at the Royal Rumble, which we did see. And yeah, we're not going to, when we first did this, we kind of did like a break by break. This happened in this match and this happened. We're going to kind of just change that format and just kind of talk just as wrestling fans, what we remember from that era.
Yeah, no, because it's fun to look back. It's also sad because you see how many people are dead.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
So in this match alone.
So what year was this, Josh? Let's set.
It's 2003.
So what, we're coming, 2003, Cena is just starting to emerge. Batista's just popped
Randy
up.
Randy Orton's hurt.
Brock.
So we have what is called the OVW 4, right?
Yeah.
Of Cena, Batista, Brock, and Randy. And then all respect to Haas and Benjamin, who did a good job in OVW, but aren't in the, just at the level that those guys ever got to. So you're really seeing the new rise of the developmental territory, really the first developmental territory they ever had. You had the Funkin' Dojo that kind of brought in Christian and Rock and Mark Henry, but it wasn't what OVW was. So you're starting to see the WCW is dead. They've done the brand split, and now we're starting to see young talent come up through OVW for the first time that we start seeing throughout the year. So it's kind of not where NXT is, but you're seeing the developmental territory rise people up and kind of seeing a little bit of the die-out of the WCW era. The last big signing had just signed with the company and Scott Steiner. He had that big entrance at Survivor Series 02.
That was massive. Like, I remember, because I've seen the pop that he gets, and when he comes out and he murders Matt Hardy.
And Nowitzki, I think.
Yeah.
Nowitzki got beat up again in this.
Yeah, because this was the first time Nowinski was in, and he was in the ring with Ray and Edge, and just one of the spots where they were supposed to do a double drop kick.
And Edge breaks his nose.
I don't know if he breaks his nose, but he lands on his head.
Because I remember he had a mask on after.
Did he have a mask on?
He had a mask on after, And Nowitzki, I think, out of everyone in this, stands out just because of, he's only 40 years old, by the way. One of the first, like, tough enough contestants, obviously. I think he was in Maven season. You could see some shine and promise of him as a wrestler. He had a few good jobs of selling and a few okay moves, but what he would bring to the wrestling world was much bigger than what anyone else would bring in this match.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you also look at this match. This was an amazing showing for Jericho, which were built to the Shawn match. RVD looked good. Who else really stood out? Cena's the rap that Cena did and him coming around the ring, you just could feel
the presence.
He had heat on him, and it was just like he wasn't getting a massive reaction, but obviously the office saw something in him.
You could tell.
Because they let him.
And it was not only 3 months earlier that he was going to get fired.
Yeah, and that's crazy that he held on, and then he's probably arguably one of the top guys.
So let's go to the start of the card really quick here. Spike Dudley defeated Stevie Richards with Victoria in a singles match. I always liked the combo of Richards and Victoria.
Yeah.
And she's one of the women that's rumored for the Hall of Fame as we come into 2019 right now.
I thought she burnt a bridge with WWE.
Did she?
I thought so, we'll see.
There's some Cena rumors with her in the past. We'll leave it at that. Brock defeated Big Show at this point to get over. This is, again, with that Survivor Series. Paul Heyman turned on Brock at that Survivor Series, but Brock wins this to get to the Rumble match. The Dudleys defeated Lance Storm and William Regal, which was always just a solid tag team there. Tori Marie and Dom Marie, I'm glad we didn't watch that, because that was Al Wilson territory, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then, I guess, the best match in the show that I remember still, we didn't have time to get it because we just want to focus on the Rumble and then kind of go from there. This is this week's about. It's Royal Rumble week. But Kurt and Benoit, we've done a Benoit podcast in the back, and Joel's talked about how hard it is for him to watch Benoit matches. I've watched a few, but this is considered one of the greatest Royal Rumble, if not the greatest Royal Rumble match of all time. And whenever Kurt and Benoit got in the ring together, it was always magic.
It's really interesting because you see that Benoit going for the title here. So obviously they saw him as a title contender. It wasn't until the following year that he finally broke through.
And then the most controversial match in this was Steiner and Hunter. Steiner wins by DQ, but Hunter, this is like shovel Hunter at this point, and he was never going to give Steiner a chance. Steiner's talked about this on various podcasts and interviews, how he never stood a chance. To the fact, you talked about how big that Scott Steiner pop was at Survivor Series. Scott Steiner's not on WrestleMania. Like, he does this match, and he does the next pay-per-view we'll talk about really quickly, but he ends up not even being on WrestleMania in a major capacity. And if you would have heard that Survivor Series pop, you're like, where's Steiner going to be at Mania? He's got to be one of the main draws and not on the show at all.
I'm amazed because, you know, he Steiner always got reaction, but I know you couldn't pair him on SmackDown, but you probably could have thrown – he felt more like a Raw guy. I don't know who he could have gone against because you had Rock and Austin at Mania.
He had such charisma too. They put him with Test into the testicles. This was just bad WWE booking at that point.
Yeah, and it felt like, I don't know, you could have had Hunter weasel. What should have happened is Hunter should have weaseled his way out of this match, mm-hmm. and then they should have had the return match at Mania.
Yeah.
Because I think No Way Out was a SmackDown exclusive, so you could have easily had it.
No, I think they fought it No Way Out, I believe.
No Way Out as well.
Yeah, because Jericho's on that, because Jericho's on Raw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could have had that return match where you could have had... Steiner just get cheated out of victory, and Hunter always being afraid to face Steiner.
Yeah.
And then you could have built Steiner up and had Steiner beat Hunter at Mania. No, Hunter would never have gone for it, but I think in this time, and one of the things that always hurt Raw was you weren't having guys really built. Anyone that survived on Raw was because they were friends with Hunter.
Yeah.
Orton.
Such a different, so many years later now. Shovel yeah. Hunter's like the reverse opposite of what he is now.
Yeah, it's crazy. I know that Steiner, you say what you will about Steiner, yeah. he still was a draw, he still had a present, and like you said, he still had charisma.
There's one big draw after this, it's Goldberg, but he was the next big one, and Steiner had that run when he became Big Papa Pump. People love Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner.
Yeah, and he can wrestle, so you could have had good matches, and I mean, even if you had Steiner take the title off Hunter at No Way Out and then had the return match where Hunter got the title and then another WCW guy in Goldberg showed up and then you had Goldberg should have won. We've did a retro pod a long time ago on that Elimination Chamber, which Goldberg should have won.
The really only, and it seems like the retro era we're going is this Shovel Hunter era.
We always seem to visit it.
Yeah. So going kind of the Rumble, we talked about some parts of it, but kind of step by step, Shawn comes in, starts that feud with him and Jericho, which is one of the best Mania matches of all time.
Ray had a good showing, Edge, Christian. we got to see Bill DeMont, which always brings back positive
that
memories.
That was kind of a look. We saw Tommy was out pretty fast. B2, Bill Buchanan, who was the fastest elimination of the, I believe, of the match. Yes, he just beat Goldust. No, it's Tommy had 48. So Tommy had 48. Goldust was 47. And B2 was 24. So he was the fast elimination. Yeah. I always liked Bull Buchanan. I thought he was ahead of his time. But you look at the gimmicks they gave Bull Buchanan. He was the cop at Boss Man. Then he got put into the Right to Censor. And then he got put into this. He just never got to be Bull Buchanan. He always just kind of was someone's lackey, whether it was Cena's or Stevie Richards or Boss Man's.
Yeah. And then, he just never found his footing. Now you could see him potentially having a role as a big athletic man. Not big athletic, but athletic small men. We had RVD, Matt Hardy, and Eddie Guerrero, and Jeff Hardy all come in back-to-back.
Yeah.
It makes you miss Eddie that much more.
Eddie was phenomenal in this. He had a few matches. Like, he's ahead of his time. You kind of see the ring style now.
Yeah, and you think that he's a year away from really starting to emerge as the top.
That's what I was like going back, is you kind of say, what's to come for these guys as far as pushes and everything. We had this weird...
And he's 2 years away from passing away.
Yeah, that's why we had this weird moment when Rosie came in And then we're like, because we're like, well, we knew one of them had passed. I'm like, oh, wait, both had passed. Which made us really
Rico's just really sad.
And it just kind of never, I don't know why, it just never really clicked that both members of Three Minute Warning had passed away. And yeah. Rosie, obviously, the connection to him is Roman. And you really see the Roman in his face. And then Jamal comes out, who was Umaga, who just about 3 years, 4 years later, has one of the greatest matches that we've seen in him and Cena, which is a tremendous match.
And I mean, you look at this and you look, like, you look at the whole card, and you can go online and look at the whole card. You look at when guys touch, like, you had Shawn come back into the ring and eliminate Jericho, and then he brawled with Taker. It was Taker that he kind of threw punches at
a little bit,
and which would go on to have a legendary.
There's a few Mania matches in there. There was Cena and Michaels was another one. Batista.
Batista and Taker.
Yeah.
Brock and Batista never really touched.
Not really. Still,
I might get to see them wrestle. So. Maybe.
They still never really touched. So
One of the other things that stood out was Goldust in this.
Yeah.
And not in a good way.
It seemed very slow.
Very slow, and like he's waving the camera away from him, and just the way he's moving at that time, it just seems very slow, and just the way he's wrestling, and just the way he reacts when he gets eliminated is just almost pure frustration of just not happy. And it just, it's interesting to see, encapsulate this time period and see certain guys and see how they're moving. Like, you look at Kane and RVD, they were white
rolling,
hot. Booker was one of the guys that I don't think the crowd wanted to see eliminated the way that they did.
Booker was white hot. Kane was one of the best Kanes. That Slow Chemical theme, I think, is the best Kane use ever. But you look at Goldust, too. He comes in at 27th, and he's the 15th man eliminated.
Yeah. And it just seems like you have no – but you can absolutely see that Cena and Batista were earmarked for the future.
Because
they had a good run. Taker doing the job to Lesnar was good.
Taker, just that presence that he has was phenomenal in that. I think – and like you said, too, there's that spot there where you get the RVDs, the Rays, the Matts. Well, not Matts, much Matt. Matt was fine. He didn't really stick out as much to me, really.
Yeah.
The guys that stuck out to me were Eddie. Jeff just had such a presence. And it's crazy to think that not that much afterwards, Jeff would have some problems with the company and that he would leave pretty fast here. Like, he talked about being burnt out and he'd leave in April 22nd, 2003. Yeah. And then he'd go in the Indies, then he'd go to ROH, and then he'd go to TNA.
Yeah, he'd spend 2 years there. And then I remember his return. I remember that Raw when he returned and Edge looks at him and is like, didn't you die 2 years ago? Or whatever it was, and it just like, and then he goes on to have feuds with Umaga, Edge, and Hunter, and eventually Jeff almost gets to the point where he's bigger than Cena.
Jeff felt to me like a mega superstar in this match. Like, because this is an era, 2003, Matt, Jeff Hardy, you don't really think about as much Team Extreme.
Yeah.
But you could just tell, like, you could see some poise of him being like the electrifying with the crowd. And just the burnout obviously hit him there.
Yeah. I don't know if you see it in this match so much, but you see that he's got all the earmarks of a guy
that you want to
build off.
Eddie, to me, Eddie and Edge stood out the most to me.
Yeah.
Of just like,
you can see why both of them got pushed.
And Ray, too. But it's even, you and I were talking, like, Ray right now may just be better or even look better, like fitter.
And Ray is, like, it's incredible to see Ray from now. And, like, the only thing that's really changed in Ray is I think he's a little bit more built now.
Yeah.
And he's got more tattoos.
But healthier built.
Yeah. His knees seem to be holding up better. As I say that, there'll be a breaking news.
I thought Albert, you know, he's the trainer of the Performance Center right now.
Yeah.
I just thought Albert, you know, for a big guy, you forget how good he moved. You see a lot of big guys moving here, and you're like, man, he was really good at how well he moved. And Brock winning it, had the diesel spot that Bruce Pritchard always refers to, just knocking everybody out. I think the biggest spot was the F5 to Matt.
Yeah.
Knocking Matt out of the ring. But yeah, I thought it was a fun Rumble. It's not the greatest Rumble of all time, but I thought it was very laid out. I always like to make sure that you either get a lot of people over or set a bunch of storylines up. I think one of the best Rumbles I've seen was, I mean, 2018 was a phenomenal Rumble because you set so many storylines and everything was specialness. This one was, and 95 I like too with Bret and Luger.
Yeah.
I like the show on the Austin one that he beats Kane with in 2001 may be the best Rumble I've seen. 2001 is good because the surprises are really good with Honky Tonk and Kane has a really good run. And this,
and then the stare down between Rock and Austin, a yeah. bloody Austin.
97 when Brett comes out for Austin's really good. This one was well done because it got Brock over. He comes out, there's the anarchy of everything. But other than Brock getting over, like, I didn't feel like Dave just looked like he should be among those guys, but it wasn't like Dave got the major push out of it.
No, you could see that this was just the start of
it. Same with Cena. Like, Cena is like, okay, he has a presence, but he wasn't, like, other than Brock, like, who do you feel like, did you feel like anyone else got a major push out of this? Or is Brock did his thing, and then we set up Jericho and Michaels?
Yeah, those were the two. Those were absolutely. Jericho looked like $1 million.
Because I don't think any of the other Mania matches were really set up in here.
No, it wasn't.
Really quick, we'll go to No Way Out 2003. Steiner was on the poster for this, which was more. Remember when I used to watch FCW? This was up there for quite a while, and FCW was this No Way Out poster.
And it was in Montreal.
It was in Montreal. This was a dynamite card.
Yeah.
So we start off with Ray and Jamie Noble on the Sunday Night Heat, which I do think we missed that element to a degree, but I guess that's what YouTube is now with the pre-show. Yeah. Jericho and Matt and Jeff. That was interesting. I always remember. You would think, oh, they're going to do something with Christian or Sean or. Something with Sean, and Sean's not really on this card at all. Then they did Lance and Regal again defeating Kane and RVD. Then you did Matt defeating Kidman, which I remember. This is when Matt's starting to go into scale on the, like, lose weight so he can hit the limit. That was like a highlight for Matt for sure. Taker and defeated Big Show. This is, I think, the Nathan Jones match we'll get to next. Then Brock and Benoit defeated Team Angle. And then again, another Hunter and Steiner match. This one went 13 minutes. And again, Hunter just beats Steiner clean now, and that's really the end of that chapter.
Yeah.
The two big matches here is the return of Austin against Bischoff. You remember those vignettes of Bischoff kind of searching for him. He has to get Austin back. Austin is after he's took his ball and gone home. And then Austin just comes up and just beats the holy hell out of Bischoff.
And that pop, that reaction is just amazing. And then you get the other match that ties to one of the co-main events.
Which is Rock Hogan. Yeah. Did Rock beat him at Mania?
Rock beat him
at Mania. I always forget who wins that match every time. So yeah, he did beat him. So that means Hogan never beat Rock then.
Hogan was doing...
He actually did the job for once. And then, so that's why we're going to skip over No Mercy, because the big thing is to talk about Mania. Mania 19, which I think is one of the really good Manias. I mean, there's this run here, 17, 18, and 19. People consider 17 the greatest Mania of all time. 19 is just dynamite. It's a really good show.
This is the end of that era.
Yeah. 20 has some good stuff, but you started off with Chief Marley and Lance. It's Kane and RVD.
The 20 would be really the start of, like, the smaller guys, Benoit and Eddie. This one was the last for Austin.
Yeah.
So this is really that end of that, and then
I think it's the last of Rock as a main roster guy, too, right? Yeah. Because then after this night, he goes on and does the Goldberg stuff. So... RVD did it again on this pay-per-view, and I remember this was a big deal for him. Same with Lance. This is Lance's chance for Mania, and Lance never gets to WrestleMania.
That's crazy.
So that's unfortunate. But yeah, we start with Matt and Ray. Only 10 WrestleMania matches. Think of how different that is.
Oh, that'd be so nice.
But yeah, Matt and Ray, this was a really good match. It was only 5 minutes, but it was really exciting because, again, the Matt promos for this were really exciting with him on the scale, on the treadmill, and trying to get off the weight and everything like that. We had the Taker Big Show one. So yeah, that was the one with Nathan Jones. Nathan Jones went MIA. He showed up at the end and did like a spin kick.
Missed out on Nathan Jones being a big star.
Yeah, not really. And then after this is when the Taker stuff really starts happening. Because next year he faces Randy, right?
Yeah.
And then.
No, he faces Kane. He faces Kane.
Right, he comes back as a dead man. Thank you.
Yep.
So yeah, next year he comes back as a dead man. And that's when the streak really, really starts.
WWE wipes Benoit from history. And it just seems to wipe 20 from everyone's
memory. Yeah, I know. Trish versus Victoria, which was fine. And Jazz. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not like Mickey and Trish. Then we have Team Angle. And then Benoit and Rhino, which would be Rhino's last WWE big major event for quite some time. Because then he'd have the incident in the hotel room, and then he would get fired, and then he'd go to Impact, and he'd win their championship. He'd burn the ECW title in a oil barrel. And, yeah, and this is funny, because this is how Eddie Guerrero is used on this show, and same with Benoit. And the next year, they're in the double main event.
Yeah.
Then we have the more controversial of the matches, Hunter and Booker with... We're going to get to that. Oh, I just want to get to this one first, because then we'll get to the funner stuff after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have Hunter and Booker. There's some pretty gross stuff before this, of like, get my bags, and boy, and Booker's passing Carson, like, being a prison history. So you think, oh, yeah, it's going to lead to Booker. No, it's not going to lead to Booker getting
and
a championship.
You know, the funny thing is, Hunter hits the pedigree, and it takes him, like, a minute to crawl to Booker. So just the absolute... Hunter got the shovel and just dug that little hole in Booker T.
Remember Conrad, when they did this on Something to Wrestle, he asked, like, why the crawl? He's like, could it just the pedigree? Pedigree's a big move. Whatever. He's like, was that the plan? He's like, yeah, pedigree's a big move. It's like, that's not a good excuse.
No.
This is one of the more piss-poor booked matches in this year. And we could tell from that Rumble. We knew at this time Booker was hot.
Yeah.
But even at that Rumble... Booker got a lot of heat getting knocked out.
And he got knocked out really quick and didn't set up anything for Booker.
It kind of, nowadays, not like a level of a Bryan or anything, but when like an Owens or something gets knocked down, you're like, you obviously tell some people really wanted Booker T to be a thing, and it wouldn't be a thing for what, this is 2000, like another 4 years until 07 when he becomes King Booker, and yeah. Then it really matters. Then Shawn and Chris Jericho put on an absolute clinic between the two of each other.
It's funny, you think of Jericho in 2003 putting on a clinic with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania, and then just 3 weeks ago, he put on a great match with Naito at Wrestle Kingdom,
Yeah. And
he signed with All Elite Wrestling.
Yeah.
Crazy things happen with...
This is the start of Shawn come back, getting to be Mr. WrestleMania again.
Yeah.
He has a lot more to come.
Oh.
In 6 years, maybe the greatest WWE match of all time.
He faces Triple H and some random person at 20, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Eddie Guerrero, right?
Yeah.
So this match tremendous. And I love the end, too. You want to have the big respect angle and then the disrespect from Shawn afterwards.
Yeah. Low blow to poor Shawn.
Then Hogan.
I'm surprised Shawn had kids, because he just constantly took low blows.
He did. Well, I mean, AJ. I think that's why AJ got all his kids out, because after Knock. Hogan and Vince, this match was better than it had any right to be, from Vince being as clumsy as he is and Hogan was older. This match will always have one image to me.
And that's Bloody Vince.
Vince, yeah.
Just that. Which, I think that's the perfect summary.
Which apparently wasn't planned, but it was or not. This has one of the legendary Hogan promos before, the right gay in the right time. Brother, let me do this again. Hogan taking like 50 takes and them not editing out of SmackDown for some reason.
Poor Hogan. Well, not poor Hogan.
But this match was more entertaining than it had to be. And a rare situation, too, that you tried to use young talent. They had Sean O'Hare in this. They tried to get Sean O'Hare over with the Piper stuff. Never happened. After this match is when a lot of ridiculous stuff happened. That's when... it kind of comes off the rails, and Mr. America. Yeah, so that's a little ridiculous.
Brother, that's not me, brother.
Rock and Austin, up to this.
Third time,
but almost didn't happen. Austin almost died the night beforehand.
Well, I think Austin had a panic attack. I think that's what he had.
He had a panic attack, or he was working out with Kevin Nash, and then he, like, collapsed in the elevator, and then he had, like, IVs in his all night, and they didn't think he'd be able to make this match. I never heard who the replacement for Austin would have been, but there was worries.
Yeah, it sounded like he had a panic attack because he was knocking back Red Bulls, and he just it comes very apparent that Austin carried the weight of WWE on his shoulders.
This is Austin's last match.
Yeah, and there's a lot of pressure to perform in your last singles match, especially against The Rock,
who had never beat Austin.
Yeah, so the first time to beat Austin at Mania, you get that big moment of in the ring where Rock pushes the referee away and the two of them talk for a little bit. I'll never forget the 19 documentary where the two of them are talking about and what it meant for both of them. And just, this clearly was a big deal to both of them. And Rock, this was the Rock's last big moment.
Until Cena?
Because 20 he teamed with Foley and did the Evolution match. But it would be until Cena. So it's crazy how long it took for his next
game. Almost 10 years, a decade to get another big match in. And then finally Brock and Kurt, which was a great match. But the unfortunately for this match, it'll only be remembered from a botch.
Yeah, a botch. And didn't Kurt break his neck?
Kurt shouldn't have been in this. Kurt's neck was bad. Kurt didn't think he'd ever be wrestling again. And then they both ended up with messed up necks afterwards.
It's crazy. Like that, yeah, that botch, but... both these guys, it's just crazy when you look now, because like sometimes we'll get in such a scope where we'll sit there and we'll we'll look at everything and we'll be wrapped up in our world of wrestling heading into like the mania that we're heading into now. We're going to be like, oh my God, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And now we sit and we look at everything, back for 19, and you look at the history, you look and see who's passed away. You look at who came a big star, who didn't become a big star. You look at the history. It's fascinating to see how things played out and how things worked out.
So like as we do these shows, I want to kind of get an idea of Road to WrestleManias. I think that's why 16 is the best one, because Olympus build up and all that.
Was it? No, it was 17.
For 17, yeah. Right. I think that's why that's looked back as the best build. So to this, like looking from the Rumble onto this, it's like not a lot just from just pay-per-view to pay-per-view, which is kind of what this is. This is just analyzing it from the Rumble to then of how things are gauged up and what it would mean. You kind of get the idea that it's like, you know, I mean, the one thing you could tell is that Brock was heading this way because he had a lot of stuff in SmackDown with Kurt. And then you had the Shawn and Jericho stuff that had been building.
Yeah.
But like the Booker T and Hunter stuff just came, like you said, like, I wonder if the plan ever was to do more Steiner stuff.
Yeah, I think that was a mistake.
Like Steiner not being on Mania at all is, I think still, like, if you just were to show that Survivor Series thing to someone and be like, Steiner's not going to be in here. You hear that RVD pop and like, RVD's not going to have anything on the main show of Mania.
Just missed opportunities.
Yeah. Okay. We are going to wrap up right now, and then we'll be back with another throwback show next week. These are going to kind of be nice little quick kind of bow-tied shows for everybody to just kind of get a look back on the runs to WrestleMania and what it all means. And, yeah, so yeah. Next week we'll be back with another show. Not sure which one just yet, but we look forward to bringing it. What do you think? What do you want us to review? What do you remember about this time? Leave us a comment. At One Fall Pod on Twitter, FreshTake42 on Instagram, Fresh Take Network on the Facebook, or you can email We Talk Podcast and go to the We Talk Podcast site. There's so many options that you can do. So until next time, cheers.
What happened to Scott Steiner? He's wrestling Hornswoggle. That's what's happening.
Enjoy the video.
And good night, Ben!